I would ask that you, with one hand, raise them up toward Jeff, with the other hand, to receive, put down like this. Thank you. And bow your heads as you join me in prayer. Father God, at this time we lift up Jeff to you as a congregation of believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that he will draw closer to you through the Spirit, Lord, as he delivers the message that he's prepared this week for. We pray that the words that are coming out of his mouth are directly from the Spirit of the Lord, Father God, and we as a congregation pray with receptive hearts and willing ears and submissive spirits, Lord, to have your will done in our lives, Father God. Let us receive this message, Lord, as we lift up your servant at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our theme this Advent season has been anticipation. Anticipation as we wait. A lot of the kiddos and some of us adults get giddy at this time of year as we wait for that morning when there's complete chaos or organized chaos of unwrapping presents and enjoying a day of gift giving. There was a study a couple years ago that said about 80% of people would rather give a gift than receive a gift. And so for the 80% of you, I say your day is almost here. For the 20% of you, the day is almost here. I love this season. In this season, I think you mirror the worst of civilization and the best of civilization. The worst of people and the best of people. I was looking over Facebook and I saw that a friend of mine had 5 gifts stolen off of their front porch that were shipped. And the kind of visceral, disgusting feeling that we feel in the pit of our stomach when we hear those kind of stories. The mom said the worst of it wasn't anything expensive. It was just some small things that we had specifically picked for my children. And so during this season, there's those kind of feelings, and then there's also those kind of things that well up inside of us where we're like, maybe throughout the entire year, this is the one time for some of us where we look beyond ourselves at the people around us and we're reminded of a great gift that was given for us. And it's in that anticipation that I find myself here this morning looking at the book of Acts. And we've been looking at the book of Acts and some of the phrases, our book of Acts, the book of Luke, and some of the phrases that are said in the story. Here, the first week we looked at in verse 13, your prayer has been answered. And last week we focused in on, you have found favor, Mary, with the God of the universe. Today, we are looking at, I am the Lord's servant. And next week we'll be looking at, I bring you good news. As we look through this morning, we're going to be focusing on verses 31 to 38. Last week, when Donna preached, she stopped right in the middle of the story at verse 30. That might have caused some of us tension, but I think it was very important for us to just hone in on that moment of what God was saying to Mary through the angel Gabriel. So we're going to be in verses 31 to 38 of Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we've provided one in front of you. It is page 991. Otherwise, if you have an app on your phone or a Bible with you, please open to that. And as you're turning, I just want to kind of reset the stage for us that what we saw last week. And that's that an angel named Gabriel, who was sent by God, is visiting Mary. Mary is pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. And this pledge was different than kind of how we do engagement here in the States. Back in that time, a pledging was really marriage without the final ceremony. The final ceremony happened when the groom or the husband-to-be had finished the place for them to live in. And then a call would go out, and all those who were pledged to be married would show up in the center of town, hoping in anticipation that it was their groom ready to take them to consummate the marriage. So the only way, really, to end that pledge was through divorce. And in the midst of that, this angel shows up and terrifies Mary and says, "You are highly favored." And so it's at that point that we find ourselves in Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 31, I'm going to read. It says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Her response, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be as you have said." Then the angel left her. I want to look at four things that are spoken of in this passage, and we're going to look at them rather briefly because I want to land the plane on that last response that we see from Mary. So the first of which is the word spoken to her, "You will give birth to a son." And her response, "How can it be?" And the response from the angel, "Nothing is impossible with God." And Mary's response back to the angel, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." This story has changed lives for over 2,000 years. I love all the little nuances that come into this day. And Christmas is really where the stuff of the world and the stuff that's spoken of in Scripture kind of ram into each other. And we have things that we do that have nothing to do with Scripture and vice versa. Right? And we get in sometimes arguments and discussions over what should be focused on and what should not. And I love finding the little nuances in the midst of the silly things that we do as human beings as we look at this story, the story of Christmas, that I believe is a true story. This story has changed lives throughout the last 2,000 years, and one of the lives that it changed was a bishop named Saint Nick. And the stories are crazy and cool and strange and possible and probable and maybe not so probable and possible. But what most people agree on was this man who really lived, who was a bishop in Myri, which is Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey, was so overwhelmed with his understanding of who God was and the gift of money that was left to him through his parents that he couldn't help but bless those around him. And one of the stories goes that he came across a family that had three daughters that didn't have a dowry to be paid, so the probability of them getting married was nil. And under the cover of darkness, depending on how the story goes, he either broke into their house, climbed down their chimney, cracked a window, whatever it was, he left money for the first daughter, and then the second daughter, and then the third daughter. And some of the stories go on that he ends up blessing the entire town, those who are in need. And the legend grew. But that legend grew out of an understanding that there was a creator God who loved that person, who gave him all that he had, so that he too then could impart it on the people around him. Truth or not, the legend continues. And to this day, we give out of the gifts that God has given us, whether we know he's the greatest gift giver or not. And peace and generosity reign. In the story, as the angel entertains Mary, he says a few things to her. After he says, "You are highly favored, you're going to have a son. And you're going to name him Jesus. He's not just going to be any son. He's going to be great." Not the words that every single parent wants to hear. A prophetic voice. "Your kid is not going to be like those other kids." Your kid is going to be great. Oh, Jesus, please. He's going to be of the Most High. He's going to sit on the throne of his father David, and his reign will never end. Can you just imagine? We don't know the age of this young woman, but chances are she was a teen. Can you imagine being told in the midst of being betrothed to somebody, having not had relations yet, being told you will have a son, and that son will be great, he will be of the Most High, he will sit on his father's throne, and his reign will never end. Your son will be God incarnate, is the understanding here. Can we pause for a second and put ourselves in Mary's shoes? Not in a million years. So her next response is probably the response any one of us would have. And it's not a response of doubt, necessarily, as in Zechariah a few weeks ago when we talked about his understanding of his wife being able to have a child when they were old in years. It's really a question of confusion. Hold on a second. Everything that I've learned tells me what you're saying is not possible. And so her response is like any other rest of us. How will this be? Can you explain it to me in words that I'll understand? Just tell me how this is possible. Because everything I know, everything my mama taught me, is telling me the words that are coming out of your mouth do not make any sense. So please explain it to me in a way that I can understand. And this is, and her response is, I mean, just very simple. Okay, so let's just break it down really simple for you, angel. I'm a virgin. And what I know about that is virgins don't have babies. This is biology 101. Time out. And I understand at this moment, this is really where the tension collides if we don't necessarily believe in the miraculous. I want to recognize that tension. For some of us, when we hear the story, this is where the story goes into the realm of fiction and fantasy, and it becomes like all the rest of the legends. I don't want to discount that tension. If you're sitting here this morning going, that's great, Pastor, that's a really good story, thanks for sharing it with me, but this is where I get off the train and go home. And I want you to understand that I understand where you're coming from. I have sat in your shoes and thought the very same thing. So I don't want to just gloss over that moment and just pretend like, all right, everybody's on the train along with me. Let's go, virgin birth, woo! Because I understand the tension that's there. But can we push through the tension just a little bit and say, if God, then virgin birth. If there is a creator God, then doesn't creator God get to do what he wants to do? And so then, virgin birth is normal in God's eyes. Maybe not for us, but in the realm of God, very doable. There's many stories in the world of interactions between a human and a deity. There's stories throughout Roman and Greek history of the gods, of these kind of unions taking place. But here in this story, in Christianity, we find the only real understanding of a virgin birth. So if God, then there is a possibility for the virgin birth. But I want you to know that I understand the tension in this text, and we don't just gloss over it. And as we continue, this is the response that the angel gives Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now, if I'm Mary, I'm just stop there for a second. I've heard about the Holy Spirit. Nobody's really talked about him in a really, really long time. I'm really confused at this point. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High, God Himself, will envelop you. And He'll do so by overshadowing you with His glory. I can't even begin to imagine what that must have been like for Mary to be told those words. God Himself is going to come to you and encircle you with His glory. It is scary enough that this angel who entertains with God in heaven has come down reflecting just a tiny bit of God's glory, so that it caused terror to Zechariah a couple weeks ago, and now fear and trembling to Mary. Now, not only is the reflection that you see before me, Mary, going to come upon you, but God's glory in all of it is going to envelop you and overshadow you. And the son that you will have will be called the Son of God. And understand, when those words came out of the angel's mouth, the implication was that that son would in fact be God incarnate. This is what the angel is saying to Mary. All the power and might that comes from God is going to come upon you, and He is going to make this baby possible. Where this would not happen in and of itself without the miraculous, this will take place. I love calling God Creator God. God of the universe, Creator of heaven and earth and all that is in it. And so when I see Most High and I see the glory of God, I'm reminded of what He has created. There are many stories about the Christmas tree out there. Some of us like them, some of us don't. The one that finds its way into our Christmas story in Christianity is the story, supposedly, of Martin Luther walking through a forest of evergreens at night. The snow had begun to kind of melt off the evergreen just a little bit, and the stars up in the sky caused the glistening on the tree to reflect. And in that moment, he was reminded of Creator God who made that tree and Creator God who made those stars for all to see. And those two worlds met. And he couldn't help but take that tree and bring it home and put it in his house as a reminder that God is Creator and the one to be worshipped. And because that tree grows easily and doesn't lose its needles during this winter season, it got thrust into the Christmas story as a reminder that Creator God, who came down to interact with His creation. So every single time now that I see that tree inside my home or inside another building, I am now reminded of Creator God who entered into our world, who jumped through time and space to make Himself present in and with us. Mary, Creator God wants to enter into your world. Not only does He want to enter into your world, He wants to give you His Son for you to carry. I know what my response would be. But before Mary gives her response, He wants her to understand one thing, that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. The implication here is nothing that God says or does will ever fail. Nothing that He says or does will ever fail. The things that are spoken by God will come into existence. Whatever is spoken into your life, Mary, will happen, because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. But I know what my Jeff response would be. Look at the response of this a young woman, I am the Lord's servant. Now, can we take a time out here for a second? Can we push pause? Will you give me a little time to think about it? Let me tweet out to a bunch of my friends, ask, get their opinion, do a poll on Facebook. Can we talk about this for a second? No, her response is, I am the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. And the servant understanding there is someone who will willingly give themselves to another in service. That's the understanding of the word servant there. It's not somebody who is dragged along or forced to engage. You have to because you're my servant. The understanding there is willing participation. I am the Lord's servant. I'm willing to participate in anything that you ask of me, God. She is just a young woman. What would our response be? What would your response be? I don't know if it would be for me. I am the Lord's servant. And she follows it up with, may it be as you have said. And the understanding here is, may it be done to me. I am in agreement with everything that you've just said. Everything that you've just said, angel, count me in. I don't know where you're at in your faith journey. I don't know if you've come to the same understanding of Jesus as I have. But I believe God is asking all of us during this season to do some introspection, to look at our lives and how we interact with the people around us. Mary's response is, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. And my question for you this morning is, what is before you? What is before you that you know you should act upon and you're hesitant to do so? Who is that person that you know you need to reach out and love? What have you been asked to give that you're a little reticent to give at this moment? What do you know you should do but not quite sure you should? How and what is God asking you to be and respond to him during this season? Maybe you have a faith relationship with him, maybe you don't. But I believe for all of us during this season, as we give gifts to one another, our eyes for a moment may be taken off of self, and we can begin to see the things around us and the people around us that are in need. For some of us, our need is God. I just need you right now. I need you in my life. I need the power of the Most High to overshadow me. I can't make it another day without you, God. For some of us, we need the power of the Most High to get up tomorrow morning and go to work. For some of us, we need to see the things that God wants us to see because there's somebody right around the corner who is in desperate need, and I have the means and the will to make it happen. What is God calling you today? So my response for us this morning is this. Are we willing to say, I'm the Lord's servant? And this is a faith, maybe this is a faith step, or maybe this is just an easy thing. And for some of you, I'm just reiterating how you already feel in your soul. Yes, let me know right now, God. Let me do it. Let me act. Let me respond. For some of us, it's a little harder question. Are we willing to respond, I am the Lord's servant. I will do, I will be, I will give, I will respond, I will love in XYZ to what you have said to me. Let me take 1 minute and just kind of bow your head so that you're not distracted by the people around you. Or some of you to look up. That's a good piece for you to just kind of look up. But let me pray for you and just listen to this prayer. Lord Jesus, right now, with each one of us sitting here, and I ask that you would open up the eyes of our heart to see what you want us to see, that you would open up our minds to the things that you want to reveal to us, that you would open up our hearts to the people that you want us to see, to the things that you want us to do, how you want us to be, something you want us to give, in a way you want us to respond, to someone you want us to love. Whatever it is, Lord, I ask that right now that you would speak. And in speaking, that you would push aside all the voices that speak untruth to us, and that we would only hear those things that are true and noble and love and pure and lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. That those would be the only things that we hear for the next little while. Lord, I ask that you would allow us to act upon the things that you've asked us to act upon. And if we struggle to hear, may we be reminded throughout the week on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or next Sunday, Christmas Eve, of the things we heard this morning. May you put a light into our heart and into our mind and into our eyes to see the things throughout the week that you desire us to see, so that we can act upon the things that you desire us to act upon. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you want prayer afterwards, I'm going to ask some of our praying people who are good at praying to come up and pray with you. If you need a little assistance or prayer on that accord, we want to offer that to you. We're going to close now in singing, May Your Heart Be Stirred, May Your Minds Be Encouraged, May the joy of the Lord fall upon you. Let's stand and sing this morning.